You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners right here on the Business Day Spotlight. This is a weekly podcast highlighting some of the most topical issues in the economy and in the world of business. And this week, we're looking at what's been going on north of our borders. For those that might not have heard, and I don't know how, because it's been in the news for the last week or so, is the fact that Zimbabwe has done away with its multi-currency system and has reintroduced the Zimbabwe dollar, which they are calling the ZWL, which is a combination of RTGS, bond notes, EcoCash and the like. And we're just going to be looking at how that's going to affect the country itself, and then maybe looking at how it's going to affect us here in South Africa, because it is one of our big trading partners in South Africa. And what happens in the region tends to affect the economies of the other countries as well. So as I said, my name is Mudiwa, and I'm going to be here with you. And I'm joined on the line by Tara O'Connor, who is the founder and executive director of ARC, which is a research house and she advises on pre-investment and expansion strategies for countries such as Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, Congo Brazzaville, Guinea, Nigeria, the East African region, Gabon, Liberia, Zambia, and, you know, specifically Zimbabwe. You know, so she understands the stuff when it comes to the region, and has actually structured and managed due diligence investigations into companies and people. So these are the people that are actually helping investors. We always hear about foreign investors and the like, and these are the people that are giving the advice about where to actually put your money in different regions. So hi, Tara, how are you?
Hi, I'm very, very well, thank you, and very delighted to be here on my very first ever podcast.
No, and thank you so much for being with us. I think, you know, for us to just get straight into it, could you just give us perhaps a market reaction, because it's been exactly a week since this announcement about the Zimbabwe dollar was made, and in that time a number of revelations have happened, and we've had, you know, some reaction here and there, and a lot of people were waiting and watching to see if any further details and developments were going to come through. So could you just, you know, maybe give us a brief explanation of what happened and what the reaction has been so far?
Well, I think I think this is a widely anticipated move, but still met with some disbelief, because it's very counterintuitive to the reintroduction of a Zimbabwean currency. Is very counterintuitive to any moves that the country needs to make towards economic stability and to create the right environment for foreign investors, which has been a stated goal of President Emmerson Mnangagwa. But the reaction is, by experience, Zimbabwean domestic businesses and international investors has been to take flight into the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange, which has risen sharply and consistently to particularly up to the middle of June. And that is actually a move that is pretty much typical Zimbabwe. You know, again, people used to trading and investing in Zimbabwe are used to these moves made by particularly the ZANU-PF-led governments. And the general response has been, particularly of business, has been to accept the new currency, because they're required to, but also to raise the red flag issues that around access to foreign currency, which is already in short supply. In short term, the sort of high performance of the stock market is not really to do with the sign of economic growth, but rather a reaction by foreign investor nervousness to this move, which could really further the Zimbabwean economic meltdown.
Now, Tara, I think one of the big issues, and as you've highlighted, is the issue of Forex and the availability of hard currency in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Do you know if, because the Zimbabwe dollar has now been declared as legal tender, so does that mean it is tradable for foreign currency in Zimbabwe and outside of Zimbabwe? Because I think the bond note, for example, has traditionally only been available for use locally. So does that mean Zimbabweans will be able to trade for other currencies inside and outside of Zimbabwe?
Well, I mean, currency is about confidence. And, you know, if the Zimbabwe, the new dollar or the new Zimbabwe currency is actually had the confidence of markets, it would be tradable anywhere. But you've already seen a disparity with all the different anticipatory currencies that were introduced, for example, you know, the RTGS currency, the electronic currency, and these quasi-currencies that were introduced as an in anticipation of the new Zimbabwe currency. While they were introduced, you already saw a gap between the parallel market. I mean, what this currency will do is once again see a great disparity between the official rate, and I understand that the official rate will be around set by interbank trading rates, but you know, the real rate will be determined by what a dollar can fetch on the parallel market. And unfortunately, the immediate effect of introducing a currency like this is probably going to informalize a lot of the economy. You will see, I mean, as I said, there's been a widespread and general acceptance because it's businesses have to accept this, but at a certain point, out of necessity, you will see a parallel market and illicit trading increase, and an informalizing of the economy once again, as happened before when the Zimbabwe dollar previously lost the confidence of the market.
So are you saying that if nothing is done to perhaps improve some of the fundamentals that feed into the confidence factor that you're talking about when it comes to a currency, that it might end up just being business as usual and the black market will perpetuate?
I'm afraid to say that is the case. This is a move that's going, I think, in completely the wrong direction. The right direction, and this will probably be the inevitable consequence of this again, is that the confidence if this were tied to a whole range of other measures over a long period of time, a long, you know, perhaps IMF supported economic program that the dollar, you know, the reintroduction of a Zimbabwe currency would be part of a long-term recovery program. You could see that would be the right direction. Everybody understands how important it is for it to have its own currency. It's part of its national identity. But this is actually being introduced, I believe, against the wrong fundamentals. So it's also being backed by the governor of the Reserve Bank, the governor of the Central Bank of Zimbabwe, who is actually preparing now to print new notes, $400 million of new notes to back this currency, which again will throw out of kilter the very embryonic discussions that the government has been having with the IMF, with a view to establishing that which I just described as a sort of a long-term sustainable program. You know, what Zimbabwe absolutely needs to do, this has been recently the former finance minister, Tendai Biti, who had, you know, the opposition finance minister of old, He has recently said, and I think very rightly, that that, you know, as an immediate measure, these quasi currencies and the new, you know, the new currency will need to be replaced with go back to dollarization. The dollar is still too expensive for an economy like still too high value for the functioning of an economy like Zimbabwe's. And so the best thing for it would be for it to join the rand monetary area. And so that would be a soft enough currency for Zimbabwe to actually benefit. And it would also work for facilitating trade with its biggest trading partner, which is South Africa, obviously.
Now, Tara, sorry to cut you off, as you're getting into the South Africa bit, because I think a lot of South Africans might actually be trying to understand how this affects us, the country, especially since what happens in Zimbabwe, you know, is happening over there. But it does have an effect on the South African economy in some extent. So could you just tell us what some of the ripple effects might be for the region, especially SADC? And if Zimbabwe was to join the Rand Monetary Union, what does it actually mean? What type of things would it have to fulfill?
Well, I think that would, you know, that would have to be an arrangement, between the South African. It would really tie itself to South African interest rates. And it would be, you know, Zimbabwe would have to probably agree to its monetary policy being set by the SA Reserve Bank. And I think that would probably be a political issue that the Zimbabwe government may be a political issue too far. Previously, when the Zim dollar collapsed in confidence, the economy dollarized itself in that nobody accepted Zim dollars at all, and therefore it became de facto a dollarized economy. So without any political decision at the time, and then subsequently. It then, when Tendai Biti and the government of national unity came into power, they actually ratified and declared the dollar the official the US dollar, the official currency. So, whatever they, you know, in order for to move from a US dollar economy to being part of the Rand monetary area, would involve negotiations between the finance ministry and the Reserve Bank. And it would mean that Zimbabwe would have to give up some of its autonomy, which, of course, is absolutely counter to what's happening now.
So from your point of view, what should possibly be the way forward? Because one of the things that you do is advising institutions and the like just around different geopolitical factors, you know, for the different countries. So with your expertise, what's the way forward, you know, if Zimbabwe actually wants to attract foreign capital into the country?
Well, I would, as there's a very old joke from old joke, I wouldn't start from here at all. So, if I were to be looking to attract investors, I would not be starting from a position that Zimbabwe is starting in at the moment. This is running counter. You know, Mnangagwa came into power and actually promised that Zimbabwe is open for business, that he was going to introduce several measures that would encourage foreign direct investment. He instituted the Zimbabwe Investment Authority, and they've actually lots of promotions and so on, lots of steps have been taken to promise to the outside world and to the international community that Zimbabwe is open for business. But this measure, I'm afraid, puts the country on a reverse track. One of the stipulations of the IMF, in April, the Zimbabwe government managed to persuade the IMF to agree to a monitoring program. But the monitoring program was dependent on, the government not using any more fiscal instruments to cover its budget deficit, but to actually introduction of a new currency and an immediate announcement that money is going to be printed to back this new currency is nothing short of, I think, disastrous. It means that it will delay any IMF deal, which means that the internal and external debt situation, and particularly the external debt, and that brings us to the Eskom issue, that actually without a managed resolution to the country's external debt, and to be able to get some external debt relief, the issue of the Eskom debt to Zimbabwe's debt to Eskom is going to be problematic. So I don't. Really, the other thing that this does, the core problem in Zimbabwe, I'm afraid to say, is political. And what this measure will do will once again send the economy into contraction, probably. The IMF already is forecasting that Zimbabwe's economy will contract by about 5.2% and slide into recession this year. That's a substantial decline, and this will be accelerated by this measure. We only have history to go on. And if you look at what happened in Zimbabwe's recent history under the printing of money previously that led to the extreme hyperinflation situation, we have actually milestones that we can see what this measure will do. And, I mean, the immediate impact of it is already a hyperinflationary inflation has shot up on a month-on-month basis. Last month, the inflation rate was, I think, 73%. It's now 95%. That's in 1 month. You accelerate that over 12 months and you see what the introduction of this currency will do. And that means it will impoverish, that people on the street who get paid, particularly civil servants in Zimbabwe, who are used to being paid in dollars, will now be paid in a currency that actually, as soon as they walk out of the door, that month on month, it will be worth 100% less on a month-on-month basis. So you can see the first problem that's going to occur is a political one. And we're talking civil servants, and you're also talking military and police that will be paid in this new currency. So I'm afraid to say that the seeds of political dissent, further civic unrest, and so on, I think, have been sown by this move. And that means that investment, who's going to invest in a powder keg?
And then lastly, is there anything that other regional leaders can be done? Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa, for example, perhaps the most powerful economy in the region and perhaps the most influential. What can they do to actually, is there anything that they can do to, perhaps steer their neighbors in the right direction?
Well, Cyril Ramaphosa has called that for the international sanctions the US in particular has imposed sanctions on on Zimbabwe, and they are particularly difficult sanctions. It means that the US is required to use its veto to will not allow the World Bank and the IMF, except in certain conditions, to fund Zimbabwe. So real political change has to be made before sanctions can be lifted. And I know that Cyril Ramaphosa has immediately called for that. But I definitely think South Africa has a very important role to play. In fact, if we look back, again, as I said earlier, history is our best. If we look back at the recent history, probably one of the, Thabo Mbeki did not get proper credit for his intervention in the previous crises in Zimbabwe. And he was really the architect of the previous government of national unity in Zimbabwe, which brought Tendai Biti, who was probably one of the country's most successful finance ministers, into power. But it also gave an avenue for the government of national unity, brought stability, brought peace. There was a dollarization, immediate dollarization, which then allowed international governments in particular to be able to provide development assistance into targeted ministries, notably health, education, and the delivery, housing, health, and education. You know, you almost immediately had 7% growth, a restoration of growth. So why we've really gone backwards, I think, in Zimbabwe with this measure. There's a great deal of hope when Emmerson Mnangagwa came into power. He had popular support to come into power, but I'm afraid it has been entirely wasted. And now the issue is going to be one of political intervention again. And so I would call upon, I definitely think the regional leaders of SADC have got a very important role to play, because very quickly, the Zimbabwean economy will become a problem economy in the region, and that could see. I think there was a very worrying statistic last year, which was that I think 800,000 Zimbabweans again crossed the border into South Africa seeking refuge and seeking economic refuge, basically, because they were unable to live, work, find employment in an imploding economy in Zimbabwe. So I think they're really, I think the time will come again for a regional consensus. And you've now got a new group of younger generation leaders in Angola, in South Africa, in Mozambique, and really they need to start putting pressure. And these are the old liberation leaders. They are the liberation parties. The ANC, MPLA, and so on. They now need to be talking to the ZANU-PF septuagenarians and actually trying to persuade them to actually step aside and allow a new generation of young Turks. That would be my answer, to form a government of national unity that actually right-sizes the economy. And, we also need to say that, the unfortunate, we all had hopes that Mnangagwa was going to be a Gorbachev character who would actually really liberalize and bring political and economic reforms so that Zimbabwe can take its rightful place amongst the most performing economies in the SADC region. And I think everybody, including Zimbabweans at home, have been very, very disappointed that this opportunity was lost. So So I do think there are, you know, and unfortunately, it's better to get involved sooner than allow a replay of the hyperinflation, rapidly devaluing currency that occurred under before the government of national unity.
So that was us. We're talking to Tara O'Connor, who is a founder of Africa Risk Consulting, saying that history is probably the best teacher when it comes to the Zimbabwean situation, that we seem to be repeating a cycle that was seen at least a decade ago with hyperinflation, and the fact that a political resolution needs to be reached so that the economic factors can actually come right, and that the regional leaders, such as President Cyril Ramaphosa, have a big part to play, as they did when former President Thabo Mbeki negotiated the Government of National Unity back in 2009, which formally introduced the U.S. dollar into the economy and saw 5 years of good economic growth in that country. So that was her. You can find more about Africa Risk Consulting on their website at www.africariskconsulting.com. So that's been it for today. Thank you to everyone who was listening. Remember that you can find us on businesslive.co.za, and you can also find all our podcasts on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. On Twitter, our hashtag is #BDSpotlight. And then remember that you can also find the latest podcasts of Business Live under the Business Live website. There's a page that says Podcast Business Day Spotlights. So that's been it for today. Thank you so much to our amazing team, our producer, that is Paige Muller. Remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production. So for myself, Mudiwa Gavaza, and the rest of the team, it's good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.